Well, with that, welcome back to yet another episode of American Dudocracy. Here in the Honey Hut, Western Colorado. Chilling out with the mayor and Kamikaze. What's up, Mayor Dave?
No, it's another beautiful day, and thank God for spring, as always. So nice to be back in some weather. We can actually go outside and enjoy it and listen to the birds sing. How about you, Kamikaze? Ready to get
spring,
in the air?
Spring has sprung. I'm telling you, loving it. This is my favorite time of year right here.
Are you in the air yet?
Loving it. I'm going this weekend.
Really? Yeah. What are you flying?
Oh, I just rent the local plane here, 172 Cessna.
Lear.
Yep. Yeah, just taking the, you know, taking the corporate jet out. Put on a company card.
Go to see Donald. Yeah.
Hey, when are you going to get a jet? You know how much transportation you could do with a jet, Dave?
We could transport all over.
Boy, oh boy, I'd be there in a heartbeat,
Talk
wouldn't
about
I?
Security.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Transport.
Look, just I can't even fly a little drone in my living room. I don't know if I...
Come on, I got you. Just chain them in the back.
What about you, mic drop?
Well, I went from my winter shorts to my spring shorts to my summer shorts.
Okay, he's in a Speedo.
Back, yeah.
I got you.
Back to the winter parka last weekend, though.
Dude, just the other day. It was snowing.
Oh, man. 8 o'clock soccer game, by the way. Yeah. Dang, it was that cold in the morning. There was snow on the ground.
How true. Yeah. How true. It was snowing pretty hard the other day, man. Like sticking in the grass and everything. Yeah, spring has sprung. Mm-hmm. And today I wet my plants.
Why don't you expand on that just a little bit? So you wet your pants or your plants? I'm not sure.
Well, both.
That's why he changed into his summer shirt.
He sure did.
Because he wet his pants.
In Water World, I recycle. Water World.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
swish
man.
It around.
Dude.
That was funny. That was a good movie.
Gotta love it. Well, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to sit around, light up a stogie, and talk faith. Slow it down. Shut the mouth a little bit.
Have a conversation.
I say that to myself. Let me selfie my camera here. Shut up more. Listen more. Talk less.
And here we are talking.
Oh, look at that.
Two ears, one mouth.
First thing I have highlighted in my in this section is Ecclesiastes 6:11. The more words you speak, the less they mean. So what good are they?
Oh. Hold your tongue, and even a fool is considered wise. Proverbs.
That's right.
Yeah, there's lots of...
Open your mouth, remove all doubt.
Jewels like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, guys, it's always good, man. Sit around and talk about the Bible. I like the soap approach. We've been doing the soap approach for a while. Scripture.
Yeah, you find a scripture, read a scripture, observe the scripture, apply the scripture to your life. Like, absorb that. What does that do to you? And then pray on it. Yeah, I think it's just another tool to dive in and analyze the Bible, right? It's kind of fun.
Pray and practice.
Yep. Yeah, the multiple perspectives too. Again, it's funny how many different perspectives you can have on the same verse, right? On the same book. It's none are wrong. It's just a little bit different takes, you know? Mm-hmm. What pops out, what stands out a little differently.
Do you find yourself reading single scripture more, or do you find yourself reading books of scripture?
Well, Dave, go ahead.
Well, the time that I'm given, I find myself diving into verses. You know, there's so much richness in even the things that Jesus says. You know, of course, the red letter Bibles are pretty pronounced, the words that he spoke. But I find so much in what he said, because he is God. You know what I mean? But I like kind of soaking on the verses a lot too lately, just pondering them. You shut your Bible and you think about what he was saying, inferring, you know. Of course, he always had, you know, he came to fulfill the law, not destroy it, but to fulfill it. And, you know, I find his life and his ministry so fascinating. And you know who he had the biggest problems with? Was the religious
leaders. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pharisees.
Who conspired to murder him? The religious. Interesting, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. So I kind of like the, I kind of went through a couple phases with this. I started off years ago doing just the scripture. You know, I had the daily Bible scripture and I was kind of proud. I had this little app on my phone and every day I was, you know, tracked how many days you opened it and read it. And that was kind of it, you know? So I changed that when everything went to crap with the company and moved. And I started really diving in and just reading more books at a time, reading just as far as you can read in 50 and just read through the Bible, you know, and start here and read the whole thing cover to cover. So that's been my approach now for the last couple of years. I've finished it once. I'm on my second time now. Don't have all that far to go. Yeah. And it's a different way to look at it, you know? So once I'm done with the second reading cover to cover, I'll go back and kind of maybe dive into more of the New Testament and then go pick and choose kind of the stuff that's applicable. The Old Testament's good. I mean, there's lots of really good stuff there and lots of action but yeah, that's kind of my approach. Matt, what do you do? What's your approach?
Man, I'm a context guy, I think. I want to read the whole book and anymore. I've been not only reading the book in the Bible, so like the book of John, but then I have an entire other book written by a scholar, a biblical scholar on the book of John that I read with the book of John. And then I have this other giant theology book by Wayne Grudem and John MacArthur that I apply also. So I've got this mega, I'm a mega cross-referencer, I guess.
Well, you kind of need to be though, right? Because a lot of scriptures, it says, oh, see also here and here, and then explains a little bit. And that just, yeah, some of those you could, one verse you could study for an hour.
Yes.
Easy. And not cover all of it. You know?
Blue Letter Bible is big with that too. And, you know, the old Scofield Bible that I had when I was given that as a graduation gift from my grandparents. I still have it and it's kind of worn out almost, but lots of references, always, you know, New Testament references, a lot of Old Testament stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm big into that, man. I've been really just enjoying that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. So you talk to some of, you know, reading some of these other books and they start out, you know, a lot of these guys are preachers or former preachers or ministers or you know, they have their own ministry and other things, but they started, a lot of these books start out with like the Book of John by R.C. Sproul in particular. And he starts out saying, I started wanting to work my way through with my congregation, the Book of John. And it took me 7 years. You know what I mean? Like, and then, you know, John MacArthur did the Book of Matthew and he said it took him, was it 4 or 5 years? Like with his congregation, he's like, I started out, I had no idea it was going to take me that long. So that's kind of where my mind is right now. Like trying to really, cause I read the Bible all the way through. I tried to retain as much as I could, but there's so much.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many times certain messages show up across all the different books with all the different authors, with all the different times and thousands of years between them. And so it's really fascinating to me to find one book and start reading the scriptures. And it's almost each line has its own message. And then each paragraph has its own message. And then each page builds into a bigger message and each book builds into kind of a theme. And then that book cross references with the theme of this book and the references and it's unending.
Yeah.
So I guess that's where I'm at. And it's a good place to be, but it's a lot of reading.
It is, yeah.
It's kind of intimidating. Where do you start? You know, it's just such a big, but it's fun. It is enjoyable. So, you know, I was at a church in Tennessee, and the Tennesseans, man, they know how to preach. They know how to pray. Wow. We were part of it, just blessed to be part of this church. That was amazing. Anyway, they did a 10-week study on the Ten Commandments. They did one per week. And wow. Yeah. I mean, anything you dive into, I mean, it seems pretty simple. Thou shalt not lie. Don't steal. I mean, okay. Take that. Don't lie and do a whole sermon on it. Spend an hour talking about lying. Can you? Yeah. You could fill up a whole hour with just lying. Right.
Oh boy.
Honor the Sabbath. Holy cow. Am I not doing that? So I would recommend maybe, you know, Ten Commandments is a good spot. Good foundational place to start. A good one to do a soap on too. Read all 10.
Yeah.
Then go back, read it again. And then maybe break it off one at a time. And then really start, you know, setting some time apart to study each one and dive into it. Yeah. Read the other narratives on it. You know, John MacArthur's great. He's got lots of good study Bibles out there. And it's amazing how much you can learn from that. Like, wow, that's what is meant by that. Just, yeah, mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Some of it, too, it takes you back to the culture of the day. And, you know, really, we're not that far off even with where we're at today from then. You know, some of the same issues that they were struggling with, we do, too. You know, even the Exodus and so forth and, you know, through the 40 years of wandering, if you will, through the desert before the promised land. But we still deal with the same things that they did, too. Nothing's really changed. Like, you know, previous podcast, we were talking about nothing changes under the sun. Nothing's different. I find it fascinating that how you even look back and you can see our cultural issues today kind of reflect what was even happening then, too. Because we just keep repeating the same mistakes.
Yeah. Over and over.
We're all people.
Mm-hmm.
We're all people. And
we're all sinners.
We're all so much more alike than we want to admit.
Oh, man. And right? you look back at some of these guys in the Old Testament and so forth, and you're like, how could they have done that? Those idiots. Couldn't they see? And we're doing the same thing today. Yeah. I do it, you know. This is random. I mean, the same mistakes that we encounter in scripture, we do every day, you know, yeah. And we're blaming those guys for exactly. You know,
and we have the Holy Spirit now.
Yeah.
Where in the Old Testament, they didn't have the broad access that we do. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's crazy. You know, just coming off of Easter, you know, I think it's important to, we didn't get around to doing this year. We talked a little bit about the Seder last year, but really understanding that I think is important. And just like, what did that sacrifice? What did Jesus's death really do? You know, that's another great area, man. If you haven't really dove into that and really studied that, wow, look at the Jewish tradition. They don't even understand it. The Jewish people, they go through these traditions. The Jewish, because they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah, right? But all this stuff just points a big old arrow right at Jesus. Like, look at what he did. He was the Lamb, right? He took our place, right?
Did.
And they, all the symbols, everything they do, it's amazing how that all ties in.
I try to think about, even as new as I am to this, maybe that's a blessing all in of itself, because I think back through, you know, you talked about the religious leaders of the days. So I think like Nicodemus, right? One of the teacher of teachers, he was a Pharisee. He was high in the whole Sanhedrin and the whole group of very religious, the law of Moses and the Old Testament, the laws, right? And I think of when he sat down and talked to Jesus. So here's a gentleman that absolutely is a man of God that has done nothing his whole life but learn the laws and attempt to be a man of God. And imagine sitting down with Jesus and hearing, you're doing it wrong. So that resonates with me so much, because as I'm working my way through things and I'm thinking, I think I know, or I'm figuring something out, I have to always, always, always remind myself to leave an open door to what if I'm wrong. Right? Now, that's easier said than done, right? But I think that's one of the things that I see more today than of anything is falling in and getting in a spot where you're just not open to learning more and growing per se, or even changing. So it's a weird, not weird. I just can't imagine. Imagine being, because if you put yourself in their shoes for a minute, they thought, some of them, right? They were corrupt. They're just like anybody. There were some corrupt ones. There were some this and that, and people self-serving. But there had to have been some that were just absolutely trying to be holy. And for them to be told, like, hey, man.
Yeah.
You need to be born again. Mm-hmm. And I think of that comment. You must be born again. Like, what does that mean? To be born again. And to me, being born again means stepping off the path of your current life and starting a new one. That is it that simple? Is that born again?
You know what's crazy about that is Nicodemus's response is it blew right over his head. You know, what do I have to go back and be in my mother's womb? Mm-hmm. You know, and then Jesus explained to him, you know, the meaning of what he'd said. But man, you know what? We should put ourselves in Nicodemus's spot in the same way and say, you know, if you were talking to Jesus and Jesus said that to you, what does that mean to us? Because we would be, you know, knowing what Nicodemus went through, we need to really kind of look at put ourselves in check and say, what is it, God, that you really are wanting from me, and where should I be? And that's working our salvation, right?
Yeah, I've got a little different spin on it. I mean,
I have a little different take on Nicodemus's response also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. Please, well, Dwayne.
I mean, from our perspective, yeah, we have the benefit of the full Bible.
Hindsight. Right?
Nicodemus had just the Old Testament.
Torah.
Just the Torah, yeah, right? So he had very limited, didn't have access to Holy Spirit like we do. So yeah, it was right for Jesus to question. And that was a tradition, which I'll circle back here in just a second. But for us, I mean, if we have our faith in the Bible is true. So if we believe and we act on the Bible, I don't think we ever question that. What we do need to question is the traditions that may not apply to the Bible, right? Like, mm-hmm, we should challenge those. Anything that's not of the Bible that we're doing, just because it's always been done that way. I told you the Zig Ziglar story a while back in the previous one with the Kentucky ham and whatnot, but is there a biblical purpose to that tradition? If it's just a tradition for fun, whatever, but if it's a religious tradition, because that's what Nicodemus was caught up in, right? Mm-hmm. Well, why do you do it that way? Well, that's the way it's been done forever now, mm-hmm, right? So yeah, those traditions were built in. That was baked into their culture. That was how you had to do it. Or you're blaspheming the Lord, right? If you don't do this, you say that when you shouldn't, you crack that grain of wheat on Sunday, blasphemy, you know, you know, dirty sinner, right? I don't know.
Well, they had so there's another take on the Nicodemus response, because he was a teacher too. And this is a John MacArthur take. And I just read this book. It's funny. But he said, you know, Nicodemus, when he responded that way, because he would use analogies, you know, as his teaching people to say things like that. And Nicodemus was almost challenging Jesus. Like, are you really saying I have to be like, go back in the womb here? And, you know, Jesus is like, yeah, reborn of the spirit. Like it's a thing, but the Pharisees and Sadducees actually had a deal where on the Sabbath day, they could, if a chicken laid an egg, they could eat the egg on Sabbath day. But then they had to sacrifice and kill the chicken the next day for breaking the Sabbath and laying an egg on the Sabbath. So, you know, but looking at, like, again, we have hindsight, right? Because we're all experts on hindsight. Mm-hmm. But I think about that a lot because today, you know, that everything that's in the Bible, all those examples are historical in a sense. There are some prophetic books in the Bible, obviously. But there's not a lot of detail on today for us. So are we falling into the same patterns? And it's just being mindful. It's not a challenge by any means. And it's not saying we are, but that's something that's been weighing on me recently. Like, am I being too rigid where I shouldn't be rigid, or am I not being rigid enough, or am I implying my interpretations and then I reach out and I'm grabbing other people's teachings to redistribute and go into my readings. And I'm finding a lot of potential clarity on some things. And some of it is far different than what I thought, but hey, I at the end of it, I don't know, you know, I'm still questioning.
That's good. That's really good.
So it's
being open and
yeah. I mean, you can't be so open that you can't be so open minded your brain falls out, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. But you have to be principled. But on some of those things, and I could use some examples, and I'll use some just to throw them out there. So talk about tradition. Tithing. Tithing is an Old Testament tradition. It 10%, right? It was in shekels, and it was this way, that way, the other, and it was 10%. We still do that today. Now, do you tithe in shekels? No, that was more custom, right? We tithe 10% is for the Lord, or, you know, you can argue the percentage.
A tithe is a tenth. By definition, a tithe is a tenth of your income. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But I look at some of these things and I genuinely question them. How come some of these things made it through and how come some didn't? So that's kind of where my mind goes on those things. And I'm not trying to like ripple the water, but it's, I don't know, you know?
Well, the Ten Commandments, what's your thoughts on the Ten Commandments?
Well, it's the same thing.
Because those are Old Testament too.
So there's like 600 and something commandments, right? All in. There's like over 600. Why do we only talk about 10?
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Well, did those survive though? Those are in the New Testament too, right? We honor those.
Yeah.
Just like the tithing. So yeah, I don't know that it's clear exactly.
I don't know.
But again, Jesus changed, and the religious traditions, for the most part, the sacrificing, all that, the atonement for sins, that is what Jesus came to save us from, right? For our sins and whatnot. I think the rest of the rules and stuff, and it's not as rule-driven. There's still all the rules out there, but it's just, yeah, it's a little different. That is a very good discussion point, though. Yeah,
and I'm not saying one way or the other. But I don't think tithing is in the New Testament.
There's lots of references to it.
There are some references. Yeah. I can't remember where they're at, but I think kind of like what we're talking about is, you know, there's some of the traditions and the rules that the Jewish people had to adhere to were eliminated because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, right? He took, so we're not having to do the you know, sacrificing lambs because he became that sacrifice. We don't have to go through priests. He became that. we pray directly to him. The curtain was torn, so we have access, direct access to the Father, as to where before they really didn't. You know, kind of went through the priest for some of that. So things did change with Jesus. I think that we have to focus on what he did at the cross to determine which ones still stay. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I've been really diving into is that exactly, because it's Jesus was against the current religious setup.
Mm-hmm.
And that current religious setup included things like tithing.
Mm-hmm.
And he undid all of that church and started the new church, which was the church of the people, right? The church, the body, Jesus, yes, the head. And, but there are just some things that we still do today that I would absolutely say are old tradition. I'm not saying we shouldn't support the church. I just wonder why some things made it, because to my knowledge, I'm pretty confident there's not a reference of tithing in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Now they tried to trick Jesus and said, well, do we not pay our taxes to the Romans? And he said, well, it was on the coin. If you give to the Romans, you give mm-hmm. to God, what you give to God. That wasn't one of the things he said to do. Like Paul, none of them said that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. It's a never ending learning thing. And a lot of that weighs on your heart, you know, and that's the purpose. I think that's one of the main purposes for Jesus and what he gave us. But there's also references in there. I have them all actually. I've been studying and highlighting things, so I don't have to.
That's good.
But there's references in there about, like, here's a question. And this is a total different thing, but do you consider yourself a Jew or a Gentile?
Gentile.
And see, I thought that for a long time, but now I think neither. I think a Christian. Because a Christian isn't a Gentile or a Jew. When Jesus died on the cross and opened it up to all of us to be full, that made us Christians, not Gentiles. That divided that line.
Hmm.
I don't think there's Gentiles left. There are non-believers and there are Christians.
Mm-hmm. I think the reference to Gentile was anybody that was not a Jew, correct?
Back then, correct. Yes. And then when Jesus opened it up, they used the term Gentile mm-hmm. because there was a discernment between Jews and Gentiles. Yeah. But then when Jesus opened the gate to everybody, whoever believes in him, right? And when he died on the cross and was resurrected, that completed that cycle. So I think we are Christians. We're not Gentile or Jew.
Yeah.
That's just my own thought.
It's a good thought.
Right? But that's another one of those mm-hmm. things that's been kind of catching me. And I don't, not catching me, but like thumping me, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting deal, because I think to me, so I'll expand on that a little bit. And I'd love your guys' thoughts, because just discussing. I think a Gentile, by definition, was someone who did not have access to God's laws. We have access to God's laws. Jesus died on the cross. He welcomed us in. We believe in Jesus. We are now Christians. I don't think Gentile exists. Other than, let's say there's a tribe that's never seen the Bible, they would be a Gentile.
Hmm.
Potentially. I don't know. The Bible, it's not so clear on that, but it does say, you know, go therefore to the ends of the earth and make disciples of all nations. But he looks at, you know, God didn't see, Jesus didn't speak about blacks or whites or brown. The only right. two religion, the only two types of people were Jews and Gentiles. That was kind of it. And I don't know that it really changed. Yeah, there's Christians, but that, you know, I don't know that that went away. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that that's a...
I'll read the scripture that's making me think the way I'm thinking, because I just share it with you, because I don't know. So Romans 2:14 in particular, right? Paul says, even Gentiles who do not have God's written law show they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. That's not us. We've heard his law. We've read it. We have it. Mm-hmm. We have access to it. We go to church. We learn it. I don't know, man. Because I get into some of the stuff, and I'm trying to discern, I guess, the greater questions that I have are trying to figure out what was tradition and what's God's expectations of us. Man-made or different, right? And that's a lot of that stuff that we were just talking about with the Sadducees, Pharisees, and so on. And people are great at making their own stuff. But what is it God wants from us? You know what I mean?
That's where the Holy Spirit comes in, and right. Discernment. And, you know, I think that he speaks to each one of us about different convictions and so forth. Because I remember, and I'm going to paraphrase, but Paul basically says, everything is legal, but not profitable.
Not beneficial, right?
And beneficial, yeah. Because it's like, let's talk about drinking. You know, is it legal? I believe it is in his sight, but is it really doing us any good? Most likely not. So it's like, I think the Holy Spirit convicts each one of us on different things in our lives that are impure to him, and he finds unholy. He finds them as traps set for us. So he asks us not to do them. You're married to an alcoholic. You better not be drinking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I see some of Paul's teachings on that and so forth. But I don't know. It was just a random thought.
And that could be as simple as anything that's pulling you away.
Yes.
Is not doing you good.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
So that could apply to whatever.
Yeah.
You know, anything that's going to make another brother fall, or
absolutely,
you know, we are here to build up and support and proceed and grow in our faith, not stumble and trip and push people away. But these are just personal things I'm sharing with you guys. You know, by no means do I think the whole Christian faith is wrong because they believe in tithing. I tithe. Yeah. I do.
Yep, me too.
Because I believe in supporting the church, the people that are spreading God's word, mm-hmm. we should support.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But it's just a weird thing mm-hmm. that some things made it through and some didn't. And I'm struggling with some of that because I don't understand it.
Right. And I don't know that we ever can or ever will, or maybe God doesn't want us to know. You know, I think he left so many things a little vague, you know, intentionally, because I think our minds would just blow if we understood a fraction of the reality.
how true.
Right.
How true.
We can't handle it.
Yeah, we'll get to heaven and go, oh, my bad. I didn't see that. I didn't think that through.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that when we get there, there's a lot of stuff he's like, dude, you worried about the wrong.
Yeah.
You worried about some really dumb things.
Right. Like, yeah, especially if that causes any kind of division.
Right.
That's where it's like, you know, we just got to stop because, you know, there's none of these are worthy. None of these are salvation issues. I mean, tithe, don't tithe. That's not a salvation issue. Yeah. Will you have more blessings if you do? Yeah. It says, test mm-hmm. me in this, right?
Generosity and charity.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, not a salvation issue. I mean, I don't know that I'm going to come down really hard on either side. Same with the name. I mean, good discussion. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm certainly not going to get bent out of shape if anyone has a different opinion on
me either
on that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where churches fall apart. You know, they kind of have some little disagreement on some little trivial non-salvation issue. And next thing you know, there's a split.
Church split.
And yeah, it just causes all sorts of division. We're supposed to love, you know, that's the greatest commandment we have, you know, love, go spread the word. That's I think where we need to be focused in on, and the rest is how do we do that? I think the Bible's trying to teach us how to do that. Maybe I don't know, but yeah, great like pondering moments. Like, huh? I haven't really looked at that way, but great question.
And I don't know why my mind looks at those things. Maybe it's because I'm, you know, when you trying to seek and trying to. You know, to grow in my faith, there are times where my faith wants to take me somewhere I've never been. And that's, I think that's the best part of it. But it's hard to gather all of it, you know, which is, I love that the most. Let me just caveat with that. I love that the most.
The journey. Yeah.
Cause it's never ending, dude. I'm a yep. guru for that. Mm-hmm. I love that. But anyway, man, yeah. Not trying to, I mean, that's where I feel like having these discussions. I love having these discussions because I'm not looking to sway.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to gain a little more perspective because we all have a different perspective. And I love that. I honor that.
And we're not going to get offended by anything, you know, as long as we're believing the Bible. Yeah, there's lots of stuff we could discuss and lots of stuff that, you know, but at the end of the day, man, the Bible's true. Does it answer every question?
No.
Man, there's mm-hmm. so many unknowns. So you have to do a podcast on what are the questions you're going to ask God when you get to heaven?
That's a good one.
What are the first?
Right? Hey.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you know what's funny?
The next podcast, faith one, we'll do
How
that.
How much time we got?
Yeah. I got about like 3,000 years. I want to ask you this question.
Yeah. Boy, do I got some doozies.
So one of my dear friend of mine, has a friend that lost a child. It's only 18 or 19 years old. And we're having this discussion on this because it's like, you know, we will, I think at some point you lose a kid that's supposed to live longer than you. And we're going to want to, by God, sit down and talk to Jesus and say, why all this? And what about this? And what? I think all that's going to flee. I honestly believe that when we see Jesus, those answers will be, and those questions won't even, all that'll flee away from us.
Because you pray your kid will be there. I mean, a 19-year-old, you don't know, age accountability is like 13 is when the Jews did their little thing. Mm-hmm. But any child before that mm-hmm. is going to heaven automatically. Yes. After the age of accountability, they have to mm-hmm. have been saved.
But my point is that
you'll see them and you're there in heaven. You're all worshiping Jesus. God, you know, it's.
I think all that'll be gone. I don't think that we'll even need to ask him why of this specific thing. Why did I lose my job? Or I think it won't matter.
It won't matter.
Once we see Jesus and we see his love and his compassion and his eternal majesty. I don't know that we'll even have anything to say.
It'll be like looking back on a childhood disagreement you had playing G.I. Joe's with a friend.
Yeah.
And arguing over something like, it'll be like that trivial.
Yeah.
The biggest issue in your life will be just like that.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
What G.I. Joe you ended up
I'm with Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the absolute phenomenal thing about thinking about that. Is the what's in store is so great that mm-hmm. it can put things like that to rest.
Yeah.
Which is the absolute it's unfathomable, you know, sitting here as a human being to think something like that can be put to rest. Because that's mm-hmm. hands down the worst my worst that's the worst one for me.
Me too.
And that would be like I pray to God every day, please don't test me in that manner. Please. I beg. I'll do anything.
It's a good way to pray. Please. That's a good way to pray.
Test me any other way. Please. Please.
Yeah.
Because please. Mm-hmm. You know, I pray that, you know, something like that wouldn't break me. Mm-hmm. I pray that wouldn't break me because I don't know. You know, my faith says it wouldn't, but I don't know.
The prayer of Jabez. The Old Testament, yes. Lord, extend my lands, keep the suffering from me.
Right. Like,
please don't make me go through that suffering.
Yeah. Right. I think about that, you know, but I think about that every day, you know, prayer. We need to do another one on prayer because prayer
and the heaven one. I think we just talk about heaven.
Yeah.
How awesome will heaven be? Mm-hmm. What questions will you have, if any? So we'll hit that one up maybe next time. And prayer too.
Yeah. Prayer.
Yep.
Yeah. I think a lot of that'll flee away and we won't have any question. I think the answer will be there and it won't be an issue. It'll be, oh my gosh, I'm with Jesus. Yeah. It's interesting. We should do one on heaven because it talks about, I have not seen nor ear hath heard what's recorded. Gosh, I can't remember all that scripture, but anyway, I think it's going to be so beautiful, so amazing what God has in store for us for the rest of eternity.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we get these bodies? It says raise our bodies. I mean,
incorruptible.
Yeah. Do we get to choose what version? is that one of our bonus moves?
Right now, I'm getting to the point of achiness. Yeah.
A little teaser for the Dave heaven has hair. One, but,
right. Matt's beard is not silver. Right.
The book Heaven is for Real. You know, I think that they talk about that.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Right on.
It's yeah. true. Yeah.
And again. Read the book, but it's pretty incredible mm-hmm. testimony. But yeah, per that, you'll end up in your prime, whatever that is, 20, 30.
I want probably my 30-year-old body, but I don't want my 30-year-old brain.
Exactly.
Not at all.
Yeah. I think I still have a 17-year-old brain right now.
Boy, I might have a young brain, but boy, I had an idiotic brain for a long time. It was bad. Okay. Yeah. I'm so glad that I made it out of that.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I only hope that in 10 more years, I'm like, man, I was still a dink back then. You know what
exactly.
I mean? I hope that growth continues because mm-hmm. boy, oh, thankful that I get to sit here today.
Amen.
Yep.
So yeah, lots of questions, man. And I like to chew it up and ask these questions because guys, to be perfectly honest, Sunshine and I talk about a lot of these things because we know each other very well, but I don't have anybody that I can talk to about these certain things. Cause unfortunately there are a lot of people that take a bit of offense to some of those questions. And I don't know why. It's weird to me, but it happens. And I don't like, I'm not trying to sword fight with people, man. Yeah.
You got to be able to talk about whatever. You
yeah.
know, safe place.
So I appreciate it, guys. I do. Appreciate you entertaining my crazy, weird questions.
Spin on stuff. Yeah, good.
I've got a lot of questions, too. I've been in church for my whole life. Still have struggles with things, so.
Oh, yeah.
So waiting for that other translation to come out where it just answers all the questions.
Dear Matt, answer number one, yeah, answer
one
number
page
two.
Book. You can't dig any further. All of them are on this page. Stop it.
Get the AI version of the Bible app.
Oh, geez.
Or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nah.
Yeah.
Nah. That's mm-hmm. just parroted information anyway.
Yeah.
But, well, fellas, man, cheers, huh?
It's been fun.
Cheers. God bless.
Look us up. Share, subscribe, and like. Thank you, guys.
Yes, please share the show, and more to come.
Have a blessed day.